I know it's Wednesday, but hey, it's still Sports Look on Care Radio. We're going to explain why we are on tonight, but we're going to start off with a tip of the hat to our great Sports Look sponsors, Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, Taco John's, and Exchange Bank, and Tom Couts, Gus Couts with you. And Gus, the reason that we're here tonight is because there's Benedictine basketball tomorrow night. Kind of an unusual Thursday night outing for the Ravens. And for Benedictine, the first time back at home in weeks, as they're going to be hosting Culver Stockton up in the Nolan. So we've got Raven basketball tomorrow night on Care Radio at 5:30 and 7:30. Friday night, we're going to be back in McLeod, Kansas. We've got a couple of very pertinent high school games to teams around the area. Saturday afternoon, Ravens, they don't stay home long. They're right back on the road at William Penn for two afternoon games. And then next week, well, it's just another full slate with High School Tuesday, Benedictine at home next Wednesday. Well, that all said, we've got a lot of high school going on. And last night here on K-Radio, we had an opportunity to pop down to Oskaloosa, watch a couple of really entertaining, couple of fun ball games to see. And it is great to see these tournaments going on. Gus, the crowds have been really, really quite good. And we talk about it all the time. We love watching teams play non-traditional opponents. Now, last night, there was a NEKL battle between Valley Falls and Atchison County in Game 1. But in Game 2, it was a Big 7 NEKL matchup in Perry LeCompton and JCN.
Yeah, I mean, you always talk about how it's kind of fun to get outside of your league, play some of these different tournaments and things, you know. And there's a lot of different tournaments going on, right? There's one at Baldwin, there's one up in Nemaha, there's McLeod, there's JCN, there's, what, Oskaloosa. I mean, there's just so many tournaments going on in the next, you know, 2 weeks. It's kind of cool to see some of these teams matching up. And, yeah, you talked about it. Every once in a while, you just can't avoid, you know, some of those teams matching back up as a league game or games that you've seen earlier this year. But last night, you did get to see JCN and what was a really close game against Perry LeCompton last night, and the Cause came out with a 53-48 win in that thing.
Yeah, at JCN, it was a two-point game after a quarter, two-point game at the halves, two-point game at the end of three quarters. But Perry LeCompton's got some really good athletes. Hall scored, 22 last night to lead his team. Ryan Feldkamp had 20 for JCN. I mean, it was just that close right down to the wire. And frankly, like it happened so many times, that final score was, you know, 5 or 6, and that's because of late fouls and some free throws down the stretch that pushed it back up.
Yeah, you know, I mean, some of the games that went on last night on the guys' side, you had Troy over Axtell, 55-30. You had Rock Creek falling to Sabetha, 54-44. It was Valley Falls over ACCHS. How about Atchison? They got to play Jackson Heights last night up in Nemaha, and it was the Atchison Phoenix coming away with a 70-54 win over the Cobras in guys' play. Care Paravel with no issues over McLeod, and you had Nemaha Central squeaking by Marysville in a great game, 55-52 in that contest.
So that sets up some great games going on around the area, and we're looking forward to bringing you some of those. And tell you what, you look at, let's just look first of all at the games that are going on, like down at McLeod. You've got, oh gosh, tomorrow night you're going to have on the girls' side down at McLeod, you're going to have Horton and Mar Hillman Academy at 7:45. You've got Veritas Christian and Pleasant Ridge playing at 6 o'clock in those games. And then Friday night on the girls' side, it'll be Maranatha and Care Paravel. And then McLeod will be up against Riverside in on the girls' side. Boys' games down at McLeod coming up Thursday night. It will be the host McLeod team and Riverside. And the 6 o'clock game, or 6:15 game to be exact, Maranatha and Veritas Christian. Friday night at McLeod, Care Paravel Horton, and Pleasant Ridge MHMA. So those are packed up kind of places.
Now as we kind of work our way through the season, you can start looking at sub-states here. I would say usually the week after all the tournaments wrap up. So, you know, you're kind of on that downhill slide, if you will, of basketball. I know you talked to Ryan Moody the other day, and what? Benedictine has 10 games left, you know, and so you're kind of to that point. It feels like a good time to just kind of look around the state at the rankings right now in basketball. Right now, Class 6A, you've got Shawnee Mission West is number 1, Topeka High is 4, Rural is 7, Dodge City Ladies, the number 9 team in Class 6A. On the guys' side, Free State 1, Dodge is 3, so it's a good year for basketball out in Dodge right now. Junction City coming in at number 9 on the guys' side. For the boys, Class 5A, you're going to see St. Thomas Aquinas at number 1. You've got Lansing, the number 4 team in the state on Class 5A, girls. Bishop Carroll is 5, Baser Linwood 9, Mays is 10. In Class 5A on the boys' side, you're going to see Andover Central's 1, but Topeka Highland Park is number 2. Topeka West is 4. St. James Academy is 7. So, and the Purple Dragons of Pittsburgh coming in at number 10 in Class 5A. Class 4A, you're going to see some teams that maybe we're a little more familiar with. On the girls' side, number 1 team in the state of Kansas in girls, how about Wamego? So, Wamego is 1. Bishop Miege Ladies are 3, Eudora is 4, Rock Creek 7, and then you've got Pratt at 9, McPherson at 10, Class 4A on the boys' side. Eudora is 1, Miege is 3, you're going to see McPherson at 6, Tongi at 8, Wamego boys are 9, Pratt 10. A lot of those, how many times do we talk about this? Doubles, right? Like the guys are good, the girls are good, you know? Class 3A on the ladies' side, you're going to see Hugoton is number 1, Nickerson 2, Silver Lake Ladies at number 3. You've got Hiawatha getting into the top 10. They are number 8 in Class 3A on the girls' side. Class 3A on the guys' side, number 1 is Heston, but right behind them, Royal Valley, number 2. Wichita Collegiate is 4, Nemaha Central is 6. You've got Holcomb at number 9. Class 2A on the ladies' side, Sterling is 1, Valley Heights is 2, Jackson Heights ladies are number 5.
And you're talking about state rankings right now and how sub-states are coming up. February 28th, I mean, sub-state is just over a month away. And eyes in this area, Gus, are largely going to be focused down at Valley Falls because that's going to be the big 2A sub-state that involves so many teams very close to us, so many of the teams that we cover, you know, on a weekly basis here on CARE.
Yeah, how about the 2A guys' side? It sees Valley Falls is the number 3 team. St. Mary's is 2. You've got Wabunsee 5, Linden 6, and JCN coming in at number 9 in Class 2A on the boys' side. So, you know, a lot of local teams, a lot of local interests. So it's kind of fun this time of the year. Class 1A, Highlands, Donovan West coming in at number 9 on the girls' side. And let's see if any boys' teams. Yeah, Class 1A, Division 1 boys, number 10, Troy getting in the top 10. So,
and when you look at sub-states, the 2A sub-state is going to have down at Valley Falls, Moore Hill Mount Academy, ACCHS, Horton, Jackson Heights, McClout, Oskaloosa, Riverside, Valley Falls, JCN. That's going to be, I think it's going to be just a tremendous sub-state because these teams all pretty much know one another. And once you play the team a couple times, maybe 3 times, you had a tournament in there, you don't know what's going to happen in that fourth meeting. Anything can go on.
For me, it's just kind of tough to wrap my mind around some of those teams being, you know, that grouping that you just gave me. It's weird thinking that all of those teams are in that same size of classification and same sub-state. So,
and we talked also about Perry LeCompton last night. They are a 3A school, and they're going to be at one of your favorite places, out of Pomona, West Franklin.
West Franklin,
yeah.
There you go.
And they've got Pleasant Ridge has got to go out to West Franklin for their sub-state. Ward is out there, Heritage Christian, Osage City, Perry, West Franklin, and Santa Fe Trail and Wellsville.
If I'm the people down in Easton, I start asking Kasia some questions, right? Because there was that time where they were in the same sub-state or same district in football with what, Silver Lake and Rossville, yeah. And now mm-hmm. they're, you know, instead of being here, they're down there, and so, yeah.
Now, Silver Lake and Rossville are in the Silver Lake substate with Hiawatha, Royal Valley, Marysville, Jeff West, Sabetha, and Nemaha Central. So, those are the teams that are going to be in that 3A substate. Tell you what, we've got lots of basketball, lots of stuff to talk about. Don't go away. Much more sports are coming up right after this. Welcome back to Sports Hook here on CARE Radio, a Wednesday night. That's right, Wednesday night, because the Benedictine Ravens are going to be playing tomorrow night here on CARE Radio and taking that Thursday night slot. And speaking of the Ravens, Gus, Benedictine, a road trip. Odd days, man. They were up Sunday. We were with them up in Des Moines, Iowa. It was Benedictine playing at Grandview. And we're talking women's college basketball. The BC ladies battling hard. But I tell you what, Grandview's very, very, very good.
Yeah, so the weather threw a wrench in the Heart of America Athletic Conference, because you had games Saturday, you had a game Sunday, or you had two games Sunday, you had one that pushed all the way out to Monday. And, yeah, it was just kind of crazy across the Heart of America Athletic Conference. But Grandview, a great team, right?
Yep.
I mean, they bring back a lot of talent from last year. They've pieced in a few good players and a really well-coached team.
Right. Four players in double figures in the course of that ball game. And for Benedictine, another great outing. Skylar Washington had 16, 11 apiece for Leah Raines and Allie Brzozowski. And Benedictine battling tough against the Grandview team and coming up just a little bit short on the road there Saturday.
Yeah, and for the Lady Ravens right now, they're kind of dealing with that mid-season grind of a lot of players getting beat up and, you know, with some illnesses and things and players playing out of position. So right now, Coach Folsom, you know, you're looking around and you're saying, okay, in my system, player X is usually this position. But I remember in high school they played this, so that's what they're going to have to play now, right? I mean, there's a lot of interchangeable pieces, right? Like, so if a player is a 3 in his, you know, format now, but they were a 1 in high school, say, hey, I'm going to need you to bring the ball up a little bit because a little thin at some positions right now.
Yeah, and for Coach Folsom, not only were they, you know, short on the bench, you know, they didn't have everybody there, but even Coach Wilder could not make the trip with things going on, and so he's shorthanded with help. He was able to reach down and one of Coach Moody's Jays went over and helped out on that side. So you gotta have everybody pulling together, man. Get those oars all working in the same direction.
Games that went on around the Heart of America Athletic Conference over the last handful of days. It was
how you had to say that.
Yeah, I know. Evangel Ladies, 59-47 over Culver Stockton. Clark, a 7-point win over Missouri Valley. Baker Ladies knocked off William Penn, 62-56. Central Methodist Ladies struggled a little bit Sunday afternoon with Mount Mercy, but they were able to come away with a 58-51 win. And Mid-America held off till Monday and had no problems with Graceland, beating them 77-57. So, with all that being said, time to now break down the conference standings side.
And in the north, it's a two-horse race, okay, with Clark 9-0, Grandview, we just talked about them, 8-1. They are still undefeated at home on the year. Those two teams are 18-2, 16-4. They're having no trouble getting to their 20.
Yeah, I was going to say, so two teams in the north are definitely going to the big tournament.
I don't think there's any question about it. Then following them, Mount Mercy and Peru and Culver, then Penn and Graceland bringing up the bottom. Although the Graceland ladies got a win. So they are now, you know, they're 1-8. Southside, Central Methodist, 16-3. You might as well just punch their ticket also. They're at 6-3, but tied with Evangel at 6-3 in the conference. Mid-America is 5-3.
Look how close-knit this South Division is,
yeah.
Right? What, three games really separate the top from the bottom in the loss column.
And for the top four, Central Methodist, Evangel, Mid-America, Benedictine, one game.
Yep.
Separating the top four teams. Missouri Valley then is 4-5 and 3-6 for Baker and Park at 1-6. So that's kind of how that shakes out on the south side.
Isn't it crazy to think of Mid-America? They are 5-3 in the conference, but Mid-America ladies are 8-8. Right? They are 8-8 overall, which tells me that they're going to have to do a lot of damage down the stretch. They're going to have to maybe win the south, which I don't think they can do. So it's going to be uphill battle for Coach Lewis and his team, you know, to make their way back to the national tournament.
Yeah, nobody said that it's easy to be a repeater, you know?
I mean, Missouri Valley is one of those teams who has a better record right now overall than Mid-America, because Missouri Valley right now at 10-8.
And the, we need to kind of look at what's going on, you know, then around the conferences as the week goes on. And we scroll over to our games this weekend, and there are a ton of games, of course, tonight in the conference with Evangel traveling to Park. You've got Graceland going to Dubuque, Iowa at Clark. It'll be Central Methodist at home with Baker. Grandview is going to just beat up on William Penn tonight at home.
I think that's a short trip.
It's a short trip. Missouri Valley will go to Mid-America. And there are two Thursday games, not only Culver at Benedictine, but also Mount Mercy at Peru State.
So, you know, the problem with the Thursday game is it almost puts you at a disadvantage then for the Saturday game, right? Because now you're going to turn around and play a Saturday game, and you're only going to have the one day in between. And taking a look at the games that are also going to happen Saturday, Central Methodist is going to be in Dubuque taking on Clark. Culver Stockton is going to make the trip over to Park. I wonder if that's probably the reason we're playing Thursday. You think Culver Stockton comes over, stays the night, and then plays Saturday afternoon in Parkville?
Maybe.
I mean, it would maybe make sense at that point, even though it's not that awful of a trip. You've got Benedictine going to William Penn, Mid-America at Peru, Graceland at Baker, and Missouri Valley at Grandview. So we're rapidly approaching movie month.
Yeah, coaches always talk about it, and here we are with, you know, what games Thursday and Saturday, and then maybe a couple next week, and we go right to the end. And again, you talked about it earlier, 10 games remaining, and that's just absolutely remarkable.
Yeah, and for the Ravens, here's the deal. You talk to coaches, and they're going to put whatever spin they would like on anything you're going to give them, but you played a very full road schedule already. So that means that February, you're going to spend a lot of time at home, and maybe that's not a bad month to be home, right? You know, the weather typically is not great in February, but also you're getting beat up. That gives you a little extra time with your training staff, your training room, and you know how things are set up and what you like. I mean, so that's probably not a bad gig to have been on the road so much and be able to stay home for most of February.
Ravens looking forward to that, and we're going to take a quick break. We're going to talk about the guys and how that side is shaking out. It's interesting and fun. More Sports Look continuing here on K Radio right after this. Welcome back to Sports Look here on K Radio. Great to have you along on a Wednesday evening. And got some Benedictine guys up in Des Moines Sunday afternoon. A thrilling win over a Grandview guys team. Like their girls, Grandview was undefeated at home on the season, but Benedictine was able to bump them off 61-56. And for the Ravens, another strong, strong outing. Led, again, as they so often are, by Matt Austin with 16. You had Eric Cruz. Good to see him getting back and healthy and into the rotation. He had 14 for Benedictine in that big win that day.
Yeah, you know, you talk about Benedictine taking on Grandview, and that was a team who had sat for, what, like almost a week at that point?
Yes.
Because they had, you know, maybe an off, and then they had a COVID game where they won via forfeit. So they had plenty of time to prepare. They were well-rested. And for Coach Moody's guys, I mean, they've been kind of running ragged right now. So for them to be able to come away with a win, coming off of an overtime loss, I mean, That was big for that team. And again, I know we talk about it every week, but again, it bears to be repeated. Talk about this team, and you can't bank on one player, right? Like, it's tough to guard this team because Eric Cruz has been, you know, banged up, or he's been ill, or just hasn't put up the numbers that we're used to seeing out of Eric Cruz this season. And then he turns around and puts up a big day on Sunday. Matt Austin was on fire 2 games ago, struggled quite a bit against Baker, and then he starts hitting again up in Des Moines. So, again, this team is tough to prepare for.
It is. You cannot get ready for one guy. You can't box in one their best player. You can't do some of those things that you think you can do because you don't know who that next guy up is going to be. And it's not necessarily because he's the hot guy. It's because the Ravens will adjust and adapt and change. Okay, you're the guy who's, you know, you're going to be my scorer here tonight. We've got a matchup that we like, and so we're going to maybe take advantage of that. And well coached, back at full strength health wise, it was kind of nice to look across at the bench and see all the chairs full of guys in uniform ready to go.
I'm sure coach looks down the bench and says, "Oh wow, there's a whole bunch of people to choose from right now, right?"
Here today, you know?
Because again, we talked about it a little bit with Coach Folsom, but Coach Moody kind of had that issue too, where, you know, you had a lot of guys out for various reasons, and so you were trying to say, "Okay, I need somebody to step up here." Against Baker, it was Ahmad Lewis, you know. They're getting a lot of minutes out of Nasir Scott right now. So you've got some guys that are really stepping up, playing some big minutes for this team and giving this team maybe a little added dimension to it and maybe another wrinkle that coach can play around with as the season progresses.
Yeah, it all makes you a tougher team come postseason time. And for Benedictine, it was also good to see them spring back. A really heartbreaking overtime loss down at Baker. And so you turn around, have the long road trip to Des Moines, and are able to spring back with that very, very nice win.
Talk about the games around the conference on Saturday and Sunday. I can't remember a week where they were that close all of them. Like, yeah. There wasn't a blowout, right?
Not at all. As a matter of fact, Saturday you had Culver winning at Evangel 75-70. You had Valley at home over Clark, and this was a game.
Yeah, I mean, that was a crazy one. I think I sent you the final shot by Jace Lance. Clark hits a shot to go up 82-80, and Valley inbounds the ball with like 3 seconds left and hits a shot a step inside half court and knock in a three to win 83-82 over Clark. Doesn't that turn into a miserable bus ride home? Like, it was anyway, but
You're just devastated.
Oh.
But Missouri Valley, that was a big one for them. Penn, how in the world did they struggle at home with Baker? Like, is Baker just, they're just not bad. And then Baker's a tough matchup. Again, the Ravens lost to him in overtime. They are big bodied in the middle. They are extremely fast at the guard spots. I mean,
correct,
they're good.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but last year, Baker beat Benedictine and William Penn, and they were like one of the very few teams, and maybe the only team to beat both of them.
Probably so.
Because I think Penn only lost maybe one conference game, but again, it was two Baker. And Baker, I think, is just kind of that matchup nightmare for a lot of teams because they play kind of I would almost call it an older style of basketball, right? I mean, like, they're not all about that get up down the floor, and like, they can beat you up in the middle a little bit if they want. They change the pace of the game, and, you know.
And probably the reason Penn won is that they were able to push it into the 80s.
Yeah.
Although both teams got in the 80s, Baker would rather, like, it with Benedictine, that 62-60 kind of a business.
Yep.
Sunday games, of course, the Ravens winning at Grandview, and it was Mount Mercy at home, 79-72 win over Central Methodist, so. Monday games.
Those games were a little more decisive.
Yeah. You had Graceland defeating Mid-America 66-51. It was Park at Peru with a win 74-67. I like that Park team. And, of course, William Penn stepped out of the conference.
They wanted to get that bad taste out of their mouth of playing a close game with Baker.
Yeah, and they did that. They went by 50, you know, over Iowa Wesleyan. Score 111 points. You know, that's William Penn basketball.
Yeah, right. And I'm sure John Henry never got up that entire game except to, you know, go to the locker room at the end, right? I mean, that's just kind of how he rolls. So, again, the games that are going on around the conference, we talked about Evangel Park, Mid-America at Missouri Valley, Graceland at Clark, Baker at Central Methodist, Penn at Grandview. The Thursday games are Mount Mercy at Peru, and then Culver at Benedictine.
So Penn is 8-1 in the conference, 17-1, you know, just rolling into the national tournament. Mount Mercy 6-3 and 13-6. Grandview is 5-4, 10-6, and somehow Culver Stockton struggling in the conference. They're 13-5 overall, but 4-5, just like Clark in the conference. Peru 3-6, Graceland is 1-8. The South, again, You got to lace them up tight in the Heart of America Athletic Conference South Division.
Real quick on the North Division, Graceland, how about them getting their first win in conference play against Rocky the other night? I mean, that's no great way for Rocky to end his...
Make a farewell tour?
Yeah, in losing in Lamoni. I'm going to guess over Rocky's career and losing Lamoni too many times, right?
Maybe the national championship year for the Graceland.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, it wasn't many losses.
Not many times. In the South, there is a tie at the top. Benedictine and Evangel, each 6-3. And in first place in the South, Benedictine 12-6 overall. Evangel is 13-5 overall. Central Methodist, one game back at 5-4. Mid-America, 4-4. And then everybody else is 3-5. So there's no team out of this thing. I mean, you're still, every team is within 2.5 games of first.
And what? Baker is the worst team right now in the South Division record-wise. And they're two games below 500, right?
They're only
7-9, right? You look at Missouri Valley at 3-5, but they're 11-7 overall. You look at Park at 3-5, and I think Park's the one who, I don't care what the record says, I just don't think I want to lace them up against Park most nights. I mean, Coach Klein always puts a good product out on the floor, so that one scares you.
The most wins in the South belong to Central Methodist. They've got 14, so in the conference on the guys' side, Penn is going to race in, and then you've got teams at 14, 13, 13, 12, and 10 wins. So what does the conference do? They got three 13-win teams, a 14 and a 17. Can they get – we're talking about this, it feels like, every week, but can the guys get four in? It's going to be hard.
It's going to be hard. I mean, and I think that's why February, Coach Moody always calls it movie month, and I think this year maybe more so than in the past. Like, this is going to be the chance for you to really – separate yourselves out the gate. And just taking a look at the remaining games that are left, you're going to play Penn on Saturday, then you're going to get Evangel and Clark. Listen to your February schedule: home with Methodist, at Mount Mercy, at Mid-America, home with Baker, home with Missouri Valley, and your final game of the regular season is February 19th. That seems so early to me, I don't know. February 19th, and it's a short trip. You're going to go to Park.
Right. 3 weeks of the regular season left here.
Huh. So it'll fly by, and before you know it, we'll be looking at brackets and having things posted all over here, and they're going to think we put new wallpaper up in here.
And you got to love that time of the year. Hey, be sure and get up and see the Ravens tomorrow night up in the Nolan Student Appreciation. We're going to have a bunch of fun stuff for the students. We hope there's a great crowd and hope you're part of it. That said, taking a quick break. We're coming back. Sports Look continues right after this. Back with you here on Sports Look. Great to have you along on a Wednesday evening. And, Gus, I scarcely know where to begin, but let's just go to the Kansas City Chiefs and the NFL playoffs. Kansas City at home, kind of the Ben Roethlisberger farewell people were talking about. That's what it turned into being as the Chiefs. Bit of a slow start, trailing early on an error, but I tell you what, they rolled in that game. They looked pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, and it was one of those things where when Kansas City ran that Wildcat play and there was a fumble recovered by the Steelers, it was like all of a sudden Kansas City said, okay, enough of the cute stuff, and then just kicked it into overdrive, ran away with that thing at the end. And again, for three quarters of football, that Kansas City offense looked pretty untouchable. Patrick Mahomes goes for another 400. Travis Kelce, I about fell over when I heard this stat the other day, figured it had to be wrong. Travis Kelce with his 700-yard postseason receiving game, okay? Do you know only one other player has more yardage than that, or more 100-plus yard reception games in the playoffs?
Is that Jerry?
Jerry Rice.
Uh-huh.
Can you believe that? With one more game, he could tie Jerry Rice for the most 100-yard receiving games in the playoffs.
And coming from the tight end position.
Yeah, it's just kind of crazy. But, you know, the Chiefs look good in that game, and the Steelers, they fought hard for a quarter. I mean, they just can't say it was just too much for them, kind of like we thought. What did you think of the Super Wild Card Weekend? Did you like the 2-3-1 game, set up?
I'm going to tell you, I've heard a lot of people on both sides of this fence, but when it's all said and done, I'm good with it.
I loved it.
I'm good with it.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand that since the inception of this format, what, a couple of years ago now? I mean,
this is going to be the first year of having a Monday night game.
Right.
But yeah.
But I mean, of the expanded
playoffs.
Yeah,
this will be like the second year of that.
But you understand that none of the lower-ranked teams have ever advanced.
Yeah. I mean, the Bengals won. The Bills throttled the Patriots. The Chiefs had no issues with the Steelers. The Bucks had no issues with the Eagles. And people are going to say, okay, well, the Steelers and the Eagles were your last teams in, and they were like kind of your first teams out idea. I still am not sure that it really happened. We talked about it a little bit last week that all of the national pundits were saying that if there's an upset, it happens in that 49ers-Cowboys game. I just really didn't think the Cowboys would lose. I still to this day don't believe in Mike McCarthy or Dak Prescott, but I cannot believe they lost that game.
Right. I mean, you just knew that team was so talented, so
right.
good.
They've just got so many positions.
All season, everybody was picking, you know, a Midwest, championship game, right?
Yep. And then the Rams dismissed the Cardinals with no problem, but. Yeah, I just can't get over the Cowboys, you know, struggling like they did against the 49ers. And
have you seen Jerry Jones, how many people he's signed since Sunday?
Oh, I'm sure it's delightful.
I bet it's 12, 14 players he's already got signed.
Yeah, I think Jerry Jones is going to be one of those guys that, again, I'm not so sure Mike McCarthy is completely out of the woods yet.
Well, and, you know, I don't even know some of the players that they have sent up, I mean, or some of the players that they've added. It is so many of them, and I don't even know all of these names. I mean, they are.
And so for the Cowboys, they've got a couple things to figure out. Do you keep your head coach? I think probably. I think it's the wrong answer, but I think they do. I think they're going to lose their defensive coordinator because I think Dan Quinn will probably get a job. He interviewed with the Cowboys, or not the Cowboys, but the Broncos today. Might even have the Vikings today or the Vikings tomorrow. I mean, he's going to be a hot name because the Cowboys' defense played well. I'm going to tell you, Kellen Moore, the offensive coordinator for the Cowboys, he is going to get a job. If the Cowboys move on from Mike McCarthy, it's going to be to add Kellen Moore as their offensive coordinator to head coach.
Okay, they have signed, you'll know these names, I don't know them, a tackle, Isaac Alacron, Kyron Brown, a defensive back, Tyler Cole, a quarterback, Ben DiNucci, I don't know that name, Jaquan Hardy, Nick Ralston, and Ito Smith, running backs, some linemen with like Braylon Jones, Brandon Smith, and Robert Foster, wide receivers, Ian Bunting, a tight end, offensive lineman, Avante Collins, defense or linebacker, Devontae Bond. These are all the guys that have been added to that team this week already.
Yeah, and so it'd also be interesting to see, you know, how the money happens and what cap casualties you have. Because at some point, the Cowboys are going to, and I don't know if it's going to necessarily have to be this offseason, but they're going to move on from Zeke, right? And I just think because his numbers have continually gone down, and you're just kind of getting to a point where, you know, free up that money, spend it somewhere else.
Well, other games going on this weekend now as we move into what divisional play is going to be. On Saturday, a pair of games. The afternoon game is going to be Bengals at Titans, 3:30 ball game. Tennessee is a 3.5-point favorite, and I don't know that Tennessee can win that game.
Yeah, I mean, the Titans are supposedly bringing back Derrick Henry. How healthy is he? What kind of a number are they going to let him run the ball? You know, is he really going to make it back? I think those are a lot of the question marks right now. Right now, Cincinnati playing good football. They escaped the Raiders. I feel like Joe Burrow is playing a little, you know, loose right now. And, again, you're playing with the house money. Why not? And so I wouldn't be shocked if the Bengals win that game.
49ers and Packers are the night game. And Green Bay picked to win by 6. They're going to win by a lot more than that.
Yeah, and I feel like that game's supposed to be like super cold again or something. I mean, it always is. But
how can Aaron Rodgers get better every year? I think that he's playing the best football of his career right now.
But my problem with the Packers is every time it feels like I want to believe in them, they drop some weird playoff game that you're just throwing your hands up like, how did that happen? I don't think it happens here. I think the 49ers' luck runs out. But
you
again,
don't think they're a destiny team here?
I don't. I really just don't believe in them. But again, anytime I put my faith in the Packers, they tend to let me down. So hopefully not this week.
Well, then you move to the Sunday games at 2 o'clock.
Sunday's going to be a good day of football.
Sunday's going to be two great games. Yeah. You're going to have a 2 o'clock game in Tampa. The Rams are going to travel. And well, there's a couple of warm town teams that are going to be playing in a great atmosphere down in Tampa.
Yeah, and both of those teams are probably pulling for the 49ers just so that none of them have to go up to, you know, Lambeau the following week. But Rams-Bucks should be a great game. Tampa opens as a 3-point favorite. After watching the way the Rams played, getting their running back Cam Akers back the other day, I think they're going to be a tough out. I know you never go against Tom Brady in the playoffs, but, you know, no matter what happens for the NFC title game, you're going to get most likely Aaron Rodgers against either Matt Stafford or Aaron Rodgers versus Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Can't go wrong either way.
No, it's going to be a great matchup. And then, of course, in how many weeks of season have they been flexed into the Sunday night premier game, you know, the showcase game? Chiefs hosting the Bills. Supposed to be 50 degrees that afternoon and a gorgeous day. And Kansas City is the favorite, but it is the most slim favorite of any of the games this weekend.
Yeah, I was a little surprised they opened as a favorite, right? They're a 2-point favorite, but just the way the Bills have been dismantling teams lately, I was a little surprised by that. Kansas City's defense has been down lately. You know, they lost in Cincinnati. They struggled to beat the Broncos. Now, I get it. They had no problem with the Steelers, but at some point, the Chiefs defense has to kind of wake up, especially against this Josh Allen-led Bills team. I think the biggest thing that scares me against the Bills is Josh Allen's running ability. He's able to get loose, get some big yardage. It could be a long day for the Chiefs, but I also think 54.5 is nowhere near enough points for the over-under on this thing, which is a full touchdown better than any other game.
Yeah, they expect more points than anyone else. They're going to get them. I mean, I don't know, though. Chiefs defense has been playing pretty well. And if people are kind of trying to compare the upcoming game with the previous meeting between these two teams, there are too many differences to make it a fair comparison.
Yeah, there are a lot of differences, right? You know, this is the game where Jerick McKinnon had the ball fly off his face mask and got intercepted in the end zone. Gregory Rousseau, their defensive end from the University of Miami, right, made a huge interception. Kansas City was a different team back then. They struggled in their secondary. They couldn't stop anybody. You played without Charvarius Ward. You played without Chris Jones. Those are two big pieces. Willie Gay was coming back off of an injury. So I think it's just a completely different team. And for Kansas City right now, Jerick McKinnon is playing that tailback position just about as good as anybody else in the NFL right now. And I think a lot of it is because he's fresh in Kansas City, really getting that screen game. And when the screen game works, it's tough to defend Kansas City, right? Like, I'm going to dump it off underneath. No, I'm going to open it up over the top. Well, now there's going to be somebody in the middle of the field. Like, this team's become difficult to defend.
Or I could just throw it to a tackle.
Yeah, or you just throw it to a tackle. Or let your tight end throw it to somebody, right?
Is Josh Allen as good as I think he is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because he's as advertised.
I mean, I remember the Bills in the great days when Mueller and Thurman Thomas, and of course, you know, Jim Kelly was their quarterback. Between Jim Kelly, okay, and Josh Allen, how many quarterbacks have the Bills had? I heard this yesterday. I was listening to this.
Was it like,
I went down the list of names. I don't even remember some of these. 17.
Yeah, I was going to say. It was like
17.
And some of those names, you were just like,
I don't even know some of them.
You know?
Some guys like Matt Cassel, you know, was one of them.
Yeah. EJ Manuel was the guy they drafted. You know, here's the thing. For Bills fans, I'm happy for Bills fans that Josh Allen worked out, right? Because you understand, the Bills traded the pick to Kansas City so they can move up and get Patrick, and every Bills fan about fell apart. They were like, you gave up the 10 pick that turned into Patrick Mahomes? Well, then the next draft they turned around and were able to, you know, pick up Josh Allen, so it all worked out well for him.
He's their quarterback. He's a franchise guy for a long time.
Oh,
yeah.
Definitely. I mean, he's going to be, you know, their $500 million guy, right?
And there you go. And that's, so it's Bills and the Chiefs Sunday, 5:30, not a night game, a late afternoon into the evening game.
And I believe it's a Romo Nance game, too, I think.
Uh-huh. So I'm totally great with that. Hey, Saturday, you know, if you're looking for a little big 12 basketball, it is the Sunflower Showdown. It's going to be at Allen Fieldhouse.
There might not be a team hotter than the Kansas State Wildcats when it comes to basketball, right? Like, they were able to knock off Texas Tech the other night after Texas Tech beats Kansas. They were able to beat Texas last night. I mean, right now the Wildcats are just on fire, being able to knock off some of these big programs. But
KU is winning close games. They're winning some games, but yeah. I mean, Oklahoma last night went by three.
By three. And here's the deal. It was a breakdown. I watched the end of that game. They should have lost. But Oklahoma broke down at the end of the game, left Christian Brown open for a three-pointer that he buries, and then Kansas up three with like 8 seconds. You're not going to tie it because, of course, Bill Self, not going to let you attempt a three when he's up three, okay? He's not going to let you send that game to overtime, and so Kansas was able to come away with the win. Monday, Kansas is going
to
get...
I think they're playing almost back-to-back. I mean, Saturday, Monday.
Yeah, Saturday, Monday. And so Kansas is going to get another tough opponent on Monday as they'll host number 18, Texas Tech. And then Tuesday, Kansas State is going to go down to Waco and take on Baylor.
That'll be a test. Baylor, I loved them last year. They're great again, number 5 in the country. And any of the teams in the top, certainly the top 10, 12, 13, I think, in the country, are absolutely legitimately outstanding teams right now.
And then what, last night, Miami beats North Carolina by almost 30 in basketball. And what, Duke went to overtime and loses. So that was kind of a crazy game last night.
Hey, we got a great sports schedule coming up. And again, it's a Wednesday night sport look. We appreciate you joining us for that. But that's because tomorrow night we're going to be up in the Nolan Gymnasium as Benedictine is back home. They've been away for 3 games, back home for 1, and we'll be back on the road again Saturday. But the Ravens at home tomorrow night hosting Culver Stockton. Ladies game 5:30. Guys game 7:30. Student appreciation night. It's going to be a lot of fun. Get up there for that one. Friday night, we've got high school basketball at McLeod at the Invitational Tournament there. Benedictine Saturday on the road at William Penn. Tuesday, high school games. Wednesday, back with the Ravens. It's a busy, busy time. We appreciate your joining us here on Care for all of this coverage. We also appreciate Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, Taco John's, and Exchange Bank, our Sports Look sponsors. Appreciate your having been here. Till we greet you next time, for Gus Couch, Tom Couch. So long, everybody.